Today's reading comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thursday evening, I attended the dedication of a new site of the Bridge Teen Center in Frankfort with Paula Maroney and Jeannie Lang. Faith United Methodist has been a supporter of this 15-year-old nonprofit over the years, as it provides a safe and holistic after-school program for youth in our community and many, many others. The Orland Park location has provided homework help, social activities, art and music programs, as well as job skills training. The new location will provide more opportunities for counseling of youth. They've expanded the thrift store as well as their horticulture program, and they have dreams of additional programs on their 4.5-acre property that will address the body, mind, and spirit of the youth who attend. Although the organization is not affiliated with any church or municipality, its founder, executive director Priscilla Steinmetz, is a Christian. And she certainly has a call and gifts for this kind of ministry. The programs and safe space for youth from a plethora of South suburban communities provide students with experiences that empower them to have agency in their lives. Having the opportunity to try cooking or gardening, being able to tour a potential job site, or hear from adults about their careers opens up the world to youth who may not have access to these kinds of experiences that we often take for granted. The love and care invested in this organization offers agency to the employees, volunteers, and those whom the programs benefit. Our passage from John 15 is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples as they share in the Passover meal, what we have come to call the Last Supper. In our scripture, Jesus continues his speech, which began in chapter 13, on the topic of love and service. Earlier that night, you may remember Jesus had washed the disciples' feet and had spoken about how their roles had been that of master teacher and servant student. But now Jesus moves from seeing his disciples as servants to calling them friends. The friendship that they share is one grounded in the love of God. And in the passage, the Greek words used for love are both agape and filial. So agape is the love of God, and filial is the love of friends. But the tense at one point in the scripture indicates that friends is ones who are loved. as the New Interpreter's Bible says, the relationship between Jesus and the disciples was initiated by Jesus and was therefore ultimately a result of God's grace. When we're in a relationship with other Christians, the friendship we share is also grounded in Christ's love and God's love. Jesus then calls his disciples, his friends, to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Bearing fruit is essentially performing acts of love. These acts, including healing the sick, caring for widows and orphans, teaching inclusion and generosity, are basically showing love to God and neighbor through our everyday actions. We want our acts of Christian love to be strong and long-lasting, going above and beyond any short-term solutions or quick fixes. As we continue in our series, Leading Causes of Life, we focus on the third leading cause, agency. Agency is the human capacity to do. But it is more than that. It's not just about our actions, but it's also about how we are called to action. Last week, we talked about our meaning and purpose in life, and agency is very much connected to that. How we act in our relationships at work and in the church is usually intentional. We want our actions to convey how we feel and what we see as important. When we speak about calling, it doesn't have to be the calling of someone like me, like a pastor, how we are called to serve. It's about anyone who is a Christian, and even those who are not, what they feel called to do in life, to certain actions. For example, one has agency when working with children, your own or others, as you teach kindness, sharing, compassion, and empathy. Whether it's as a parent, a school teacher, a Sunday school teacher, or in a program like Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, we bear fruit that lasts as we instill into those children and youth how to be loving people in our families and in our communities. We all have agency to make a difference in the lives of others. Gunderson and Prey, the author of the book Leading Causes of Life, write about how people in neighborhoods or those facing struggles often have agency to make change even if they don't realize it. Yet our society, particularly those of us in the West or those with more resources, we often think that we have the answers for people who are having challenges in their lives. We certainly have very good intentions. We want to help. And we do so. But sometimes we don't always listen to what is actually needed by the people who are struggling. Often organizations or missionaries have gone into communities or nations to provide assistance, but they haven't really invited the people who live there to work with them or to see how they might serve the people. Instead of imposing strategies or solutions that we found to work for us and where we live. Community organizing, the principles of which were originally developed by Saul Alinsky, encourages people in neighborhoods to come together around the assets that they have, as well as their hopes and dreams for the future. Encourages them to come together to bring transformative change. Jody Kretzman, director of the Institute for Policy Research at Northwestern up in Evanston, says, creative neighborhood leaders are discovering that wherever there are effective community development efforts, those efforts are based upon an understanding or a map of the community's assets, capacities, and abilities. It is clear that even the poorest neighborhood is a place where individuals and organizations represent resources upon which to rebuild. The key to neighborhood regeneration, then, is to locate all of the available local assets, to connect them to one another in ways that multiply their power and their effectiveness. Neighborhoods may simply need someone to come in and train them about community organizing and how to do that better. There are many local organizations in poor neighborhoods that just simply need some financial support, which our endowment committee does in many ways. These organizations may be doing things that are already working to bring change and just need a little help. But these neighborhoods don't need well-meaning people like us to come in and tell them what they need to do, when what has worked for one group doesn't necessarily work for others. Local leaders have agency, and they have resources that they may not even realize and that we may not even realize. For example, Kretzmann points out five assets that every community has: the people who live there and all the gifts that they have and talents. Face-to-face voluntary associations like church groups or service organizations. Places where paid people do the work, like schools, libraries, and parks. Physical assets, empty buildings, empty land, etc. And of course, economic activity that's already happening there: factories, stores, street vendors, and other businesses. People who realize all of these assets that they already have can bring about change that will make a difference, that will bring new life and new hope, and those who participate will be energized in the process. I mentioned several weeks ago in a sermon that I visited the Dominican Republic and Haiti in 2007. The group from the United Methodist Church of Geneva who went were led by the executive director of International Child Care. That organization was primarily the fundraising arm of Grace Children's Hospital, clinics, and healthcare workers across those two island nations. The founders of ICC knew that it was crucial for those employed at the hospital in Port-au-Prince to be Haitians and Dominicans. That is who the people would trust. So when we visited, we weren't on a typical mission trip to work, but rather we were there to learn. We observed, we listened, so that we could come back to the United States and share with other people about the important work already being done there and how we might support it financially. Now, we took with us birthing kits and school supplies for the children in the hospital, but we primarily went to see how those in Haiti and the DR had many gifts already to address the challenges that they faced. Local people know what works, and they can build trust in ways that outsiders cannot. And what we saw was great pride in the faces of employees, and we heard amazing stories of those who were working there. The people had agency. Now, it may take more time and energy to build resources and to learn what can actually help. It takes more time to work side by side or to follow, but those experiences bear fruit that will last. think about the success of Habitat for Humanity. That's an organization that I think all of us have heard of. This international nonprofit birthed from a group called Koinonia Farm, which was a community farm outside Americus, Georgia, founded by Clarence Jordan, a farmer and biblical scholar, has a strong Christian foundation and has transformed lives. But that transformation has happened because those who receive a home in which to live have invested sweat equity into building their home. They work alongside volunteers to build the house, and it is not simply given to them. Homeowners pay for their house, but they can do so because they've received a no-profit loan through Habitat. In addition, these houses are modest, they're built efficiently, not cheaply. They use quality materials that are locally sourced, and they are designed for the particular climate and area in which they are built, all over the world. Habitat has expanded their mission. I didn't realize this. They now have a program to help seniors repair their homes. They also have disaster response, and they have a revitalizing communities program as well. Neighborhood revitalization is a long-term, holistic strategy that supports residents to improve the quality of life in under-resourced communities. Habitat for Humanity takes a local and community-based approach to neighborhood revitalization to ensure that their work is driven by those with the lived experience in that area. Those who founded Habitat for Humanity and those who support it, like former President Jimmy Carter, realize the importance of agency for the individuals and communities. The fruit of this international organization, building homes and strengthening communities so that families have vibrant and safe places to live, is rooted in Christ's love. The actions of the volunteers and those who benefit will bring new life to all involved. Jesus commands us in our passage today to love one another. He tells his disciples that the greatest gift he can give his friends is to lay his life down for them. But he also wants them to continue to do as he taught them, to bear fruit, fruit that will last. He wants them to follow in his footsteps of bringing about the kingdom of God on earth through acts of love. Our actions are not always about us or what we want, because we are called to love one another as Christ has loved us, which means making sacrifices sometimes, being generous, listening to others, discerning how God would want us to act so that we can experience snippets of the kingdom here and now. We all have agency, the ability to do loving acts. And when we share God's love, we are filled with new life. So let us love one another. God has given us all that we need to bring about transformation. So let us embody Christ's love and life. Amen.